please consider calling into the show today. We have a number of hot topics, and your voice needs to be heard. Thoughts, Love, and Reflections is your opportunity to make sure your opinion is heard over the noise of the media. James T. Deshaies is committed to bringing the voice of the people to the world stage. He'll select topics, but your voice will be the focus. So take time to spend with him and inform the world of your views. We can no longer sit back and let others tell us what to think. The cost of being a silent majority is too great, and too many lives are being destroyed. The leaders around the world need to be put on notice that their jobs and careers depend on how well they listen. Call in on Tuesdays at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 657-383-0309, or Thursdays, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 347-855-8867, or Saturday, 8 p.m. Eastern, 657-383-0309. Why don't you add Thoughts, Love, and Reflections to your weekly schedule? If you have story ideas or topics of discussion, contact James Deshaies at 407-394-9819 or email djames82@aol.com.
USI never had it so good. 101.1 radio, the best R&B and hip hop music. The Quiet Storm every Friday and Saturday. Talk radio with the best host in the business. Sports talk radio every weekend night with Princess Cooper. Never had it so good radio now on 101.1, and it's 24/7, the world's best radio station.
Never better get checked. There ain't no difference when the king goes sick. Fuck around and get wet.
This is James T. Deshaies, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflection, brought to you by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network. We're going to have a great show today, and we just want to talk about some things. And you know that we have to be aware of what's going on around us, and it's important that we have a dialogue to help determine how it is best to deal with the issues that come up in our society. And so I want to make sure that we are proactive and trying to make sure that we deal with all the things that are going on and around us in a positive way. So it's important for us to recognize that we have to have a voice, and our voice can only be heard when we're ready and prepared to put it on the airwaves. So we're going to take some time and take a little break and wait for the callers to come online, and then we're going to have a discussion in regards to a shooting that took place in South Carolina. We'll be right back after this break.
We'll be right back.
This is James T. Deshay, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflection, brought to you by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network. You know, we are living in a very disturbing time right now. And is it important that we are aware of all the incidents that take place in our society? And we have to come to some conclusions about why these things are taking place, how we're going to deal with these things, and how do we rectify the things that we believe are being handled inappropriately. And there are a lot of stories out there like that. I was going to talk about a story yesterday and chose to change my mind, but I'm going to talk about it today. We have a 62-year-old man who was not supposed to be carrying a firearm, who gunned down a 15-year-old who he said had a weapon. Now, the story goes that the 62-year-old was going down to the Family Dollar store, and he bumped into these three young men or came in contact with these three young men, and they started exchanging words. And so after words were exchanged, the older gentleman continued his walk to the Family Dollar store. After completing his transaction, he started back home, and he said to not get involved in another confrontation, he chose to cross the street away from the group of boys so to defuse the situation. Then the elderly man said that one of the boys crossed the street to confront him again. And he said that at this point, the boy displayed a weapon to him, and he was in fear of his life. And so he pulled a weapon, and he shot the boy a number of times, proceeding to go on home, cook his dinner, and go to a friend's house. At no point did he ever call the police. And so at this point, if we believe what this older gentleman said, that the young man flashed a gun at him, that would be very alarming that a young man of 15 years of age had a weapon. But then we've also found out because of a criminal past, the older man was not supposed to have a weapon either because of some kind of domestic dispute that he had had, and he was no longer allowed to have access to a weapon. So now we have two people who shouldn't have access to a weapon. The police have not told us whether or not the young man was carrying a weapon, and I think that's very important information because if he did have a weapon, I could see where a person might be in fear of their life if someone flashed a gun. But certainly since the older gentleman shouldn't have had a gun himself, then it may have not gotten to that point had he not had a weapon. It is very concerning, though, to me nationwide that we seemingly are still having these issues that have a lot to do with people carrying weapons, people displaying weapons, and people feeling the freedom to use their weapons in these confrontations. In our society, we got to get to the point, you know, there's a lot of responsibility in carrying a gun. I know that I don't carry a weapon, and I don't feel comfortable with carrying a weapon and dealing with the responsibility of carrying a weapon and having the potential or the ability to end the life of another person. And so we have to decide what kind of society we truly want to live in if we're going to continue to be carrying weapons and allowing our public, our general public, to use these weapons, and how we're going to deal with them after they take the life of a young man. It was stated that as far as he was concerned, all he did was eliminate some additional trash from our society. So he says he did not say that, but that is one of the statements the police officers said he said. And he also seemed to be, was not very concerned about the life of this young man. What he was most concerned about seemed to be whether or not he might lose his job as a result of the fact that he was not given bail or the opportunity to be released. I think after you kill somebody and it has not been deemed that you killed them lawfully, then certainly you should not be given a low bail or bail at all. So I understand why that is not the case. And we need to deal with whether or not how we want to have people in our society and what's going on. Will it become commonplace for the general public to start dealing with the issues they have, personal issues or street issues they have themselves, and not involve police officers? Are we looking at a era in our society where people of all colors are going to feel comfortable walking around with weapons and using them with a lot of frequency? You know, we have to ask ourselves, you know, how do we want to be policed? How do we want to deal with our society when we had a lot of people who have been encouraged to purchase weapons and to carry weapons as a means of protecting themselves? Is this the kind of society we want to live in where we are inundated with a lot of young people who may or may not have weapons being interacting with older people who have decided that they're willing to shoot and kill and ask questions later? You know, it is just difficult to know what to do. This young man, the 62-year-old, said he just refused to be beaten by these, what he called, young thugs, and that he was going to do whatever he had to protect himself. And so we have to ask ourselves, if we had a 62-year-old relative, would we want them to protect themselves? Or how do we deal with these situations? We have to be realistic and honest about it. We know that there are, you know, some young men out there who don't mean to be angels, who are carrying weapons and who are disrespecting the elderly. We don't know if this is one of those situations or not, but certainly what we do know is we have a dead 15-year-old and a 60-year-old man now in jail who very well may be locked up for the remainder of his life. And this is the environment that we find ourselves in, with everybody now thinking about how do they protect themselves from the people that they fear the most. And so these are the kind of questions we have to ask ourselves. How are you doing today, Kathy?
Good afternoon. I'm doing wonderful, Mr. Deshay. How are you?
I am fine. Were you able to, did you hear about this particular story that took place in South Carolina?
No, I sure haven't.
Well,
no,
I
was listening to what you were saying, so I kind of got a little bit of the story. Someone... elderly man shot a teenager. I don't know if he was being abused or he tried to take something from him or something, you said.
Well, he was on his way to the store, to a dollar store, and him and the older man got into a verbal confrontation. And on the man's return home, the older man said the young man threatened him by showing him a pistol in his waistband. The older man shot him and proceeded to go home, cooked himself some dinner, and then went to a friend's house. At no point did he call the police until the police, you know, came to his home and arrested him. And he said that all he did was eliminate trash from society. So here we are dealing with, you know, the kind of environment, this new environment where people are carrying weapons.
Yeah, that seems to be a sad story on on one end, you know, because you said 2 years old, it kind of made me feel a little bit for him because I can see a situation like that. You know, I have a dad that's 84 years old, and he's always going back and forth to the store for different items. So just imagining that someone comes up to him and, you know, he gets into a confrontation with somebody, he needs to protect himself at any means necessary. But then when you said the guy went home, cooked himself dinner, went to a friend's house, now there is a flag that's raising up in my head now, because why wouldn't you contact the police? Why wouldn't you call someone and let them know that this happened? Why do the police have to come to your door to get you? So another flag is up. You know, something is not right with that situation, and you can just go home and start your dinner. And I mean,
yeah,
that's a tragic situation. You can go and have something to eat after that. There's no way in the world after something like that that I will be able to sit down and eat or even cook. I would still be so nervous from, you know, whatever happened earlier. And then the statement that you said he made, that's another red flag. You know, well, I am glad that he is in custody and that hopefully the jury will see everything for what it is. And then whatever time he needs to serve, he has to serve it, you know.
Well, there are a lot of you named a couple of flags for sure. The other one that came out was that because of his criminal past, he wasn't even supposed to be carrying a weapon, and so he had some domestic issues that obviously were felons, and that he was not even supposed to have a weapon. And just like you said, if something like that had happened to you, and you had to carry a gun, looked like you would have knocked on some doors or got home and called the police immediately to address the situation if you felt you were right, justified in doing that. But, again, we're talking about the environment we're in. You know, we talk about doing positive things all the time and making sure we're making the right decisions and taking the right steps to make the world a better place. But there are people out there on both sides of this argument. Certainly young people need to know that they need to avoid confrontations with people, even ignorant people. You got to know how to learn to overlook people who may try to engage you in the wrong types of conversation. And you just sometimes got to shake your head and just say, hey, look, I am not going to deal with your ignorance. I'm just going to close my mouth and I'm not going to engage you. And so we need to train, and I see as I look at this, that we need to train both young people and older people how to avoid dangerous confrontations, because obviously both of these people were just bent on, you know, getting into trouble or getting into some kind of confrontation. No young man ought to be out there violating the rights of any elderly person, and no elderly person ought to be out there looking for the opportunity to shoot any young person. You know, there are a lot of different issues on this that we need to deal with, but we have to definitely talk to both sides about how do you deal with just trying to live in peace.
Well, you know what, I was thinking as you were talking, something else came up in my mind. Okay, so if I'm going to the store and I get into a little altercation with someone and they show me a gun, on my way back, I'm not going to go the same way. When I get to the store, I'm going to call the police or something and let them know, hey, this is what just happened to me. This person has a gun. I feel threatened for my life. Can you go over there and kind of, you know, see what's going on? Why would you go back into the same situation that you say where this person threatened you and pulled a gun on you? Why would you go back into that particular situation if you yourself didn't have some other alternative motive.
And, but one of the things, Kathy, I don't know if I said it in the past, but I'll say it now. People have a whole different thought process when they start carrying weapons. And a lot of times when people are prepared in their minds mentally to use these weapons, they look for an opportunity. And certainly this old man, had he not had that weapon, would have probably thought exactly like you thought. Hey, let me call the police, let them know that I need to get home and I have to walk past these people, or engage the people in the store to let them know what's going on. And so, yeah, there were a lot of options he could have taken to avoid the situation. Certainly, that couldn't have been his only route to getting home. Another route might have taken him longer, but would have avoided the trouble. So you're exactly right. It's obvious that he wanted to engage or didn't feel any fear because he knew he had a weapon.
And another thing, I mean, if he went home, cooked, and then went to his friend's house, why he didn't call his friend when he was at the store? Everybody has a cell phone. Everybody.
Right.
So
right.
I mean, you know, I'm just thinking of all these different things. But even with him, you know, you said people that are able to carry guns or look for opportunity to use it or you know, feel that they're a little stronger or a little bit more advanced because they have a gun. I believe that this man, if everything went the way that you said, I believe that this man has a mental problem because you said he was already on probation or something and wasn't supposed to carry a concealed weapon because he had
he was involved in some domestic violence situation.
Yes, he was. Okay, so we have to look at all that because domestic violence is a really big thing. I mean, you know, who's to say that he didn't try to kill his wife or, you know, shoot his wife or whatever? We don't know, you know?
Well, he had a very, he was not remorseful at all. There are several different videos that he spoke out on, and they took his confession or talked to him, and he had very little remorse for the life of this teenager. And it was just like, you know, hey, I was not going to be beaten up by these thugs. And so he was more than willing to take out his gun and shoot them, and shoot the one. So I'm not sure what happened to the other two guys that were with him, but clearly this young man was very small in stature. I don't see where he could have been that afraid of him physically. But again, he suggested that the young man had a gun and had showed it to him a couple of times. And again, like you said, if I was on my way home and somebody showed me a gun, I certainly wouldn't go out down that same street looking to confront them again. That definitely wouldn't be my decision-making related to that particular situation.
Right.
But we do have to recognize that there are some young people out there, for whatever reason, they're always looking for trouble. And we have to, again, we're in a different type of environment. You know, there are a lot of people who right now feel very empowered to hurting people of color. And so we have to recognize that these people's attitudes, a lot of American attitudes, have changed, where some of these older Americans or right-wing Americans are looking for opportunities to get into confrontations with people of color because now they feel empowered to say things and do things that they didn't think about doing in the past. And so we need to make our young people aware of that, and so that they have the opportunity to figure out how they're going to deal with some of these issues that we're going to have to be dealing with in the future. It's just amazing to me that, you know, we find ourselves in, we're coming going on 2017, and we're still dealing with racism and hatred and this kind of devastating thing. I mean, I just don't fully understand it, because I've never been in the mindset of walking around carrying a gun, and I know most Americans don't carry weapons daily, but we got people out there who either live in fear or operate in making people afraid of them, and that's what the reason why they're carrying all these guns. We're going to take a short break because we're at the halfway point, and we want to continue our conversation about how do we deal with this new environment that we find ourselves in right now. Give you the opportunity to have your voice heard loud and clear on the issues that are impacting our lives now and in the future. Kathy, are you there?
I'm here.
Kathy, have you ever experienced firing a gun at all?
Yes, I was in the service before, so I have shot a gun a couple of times. M16 threw a grenade. I did all that nice stuff.
You said nice stuff. Wow, Patsy. I have to tell you, you are a long ways ahead of me. I've had very little experience with weapons. I've fired a few BB guns and a few pellet guns, and I think the only rifle I've shot was a .22 rifle. So I don't have any experience at all. But what are your thoughts now? Have you ever thought about, as a normal citizen, have you thought about purchasing a weapon and carrying a weapon on a daily basis?
No, I haven't. I mean, you know, the thought of having a weapon in my possession kind of scares me, you know, because I mean, for accident purposes, you know, you never know. Kids, I'm always around kids, or, you know, my stuff is always open to everybody, so that's something that I would not want to do, you know. But I'm with my sister all the time, and I know she carries her gun because she's a retired police officer, so she has that option to carry a weapon with her at all times. And so, but me, no, personally, no.
Well, I have to tell you, on a personal basis, I have never carried a gun. I've thought about purchasing a weapon, but every time I think about it, I think about all the responsibilities that come with having a weapon. You know, a lot of times, you know, there are situations that happen, and you don't fully understand what's going on. I share a story with you that happened in Orlando. I share a situation with happened here in Orlando, and it was a tragic situation. We had several different law enforcement agencies that were out and about the Citrus Bowl, and they were protecting the general public at the Citrus Bowl, and one law enforcement department was dealing with underage drinking because it was a college football game. And what happened was one of the policemen came up on a group of people who he thought was underage drinking, and he decided that he was going to arrest one of the young people. And in the process of arresting one of the young people, another young person jumped into it and tried to wrestle the policeman down to keep him from arresting his friend. And it said at some point, the police officer escaped and pulled out his weapon. And when he pulled out his weapon, another police officer was coming up at the same time, and the first police officer was in plain clothes. And because he did not recognize the color of the day, he saw the police officer in plain clothes pointing his weapon at these young men, and he fired his weapon and killed the officer in the line of duty. And so sometimes you're not even aware, you know, if police officers cannot organize themselves so that they keep themselves from shooting their undercover officers, how in the world is the general public supposed to know who has the right to carry a gun and who doesn't have the right? And you walk up on a situation and you shoot the wrong person, you know. And
to this day,
I thought that that teenager or that college young man should have been locked up for manslaughter because he put into play a situation that caused the death of a police officer, because he violated that police officer's rights to handcuff his friend. And so I thought that he should go to jail, but, of course, it didn't play out that way.
Well, so what did they call it, an accident?
Yeah, they just, you know, no one went to jail. They didn't even go to jail for underage drinking. They just said that they were going to have to do a better job of making sure all the different police organizations were on the same page. And again, you know, you have to feel for the police officer who shot the other officer, because when he walked up on the situation, he was just unaware of what was happening and did not realize or did not take the time to find out what was going on before he fired his weapon.
Wow. Yeah, because it seemed like he would have said, "Hold, don't shoot. Put your hands up, police, LAPD, or whoever he was." And then at that time, the other officer could have said, "Hey, I'm off duty, but I'm whatever, you know." But like you said, he reacted before he figured out what the situation was. And I know that that's what they teach you in those classes, that when you arrive at situations like that, you're supposed to assess the scene. And if you see anybody that looks as if they have, you know, that they're going to be a threat or anything, you tell them, "Hey, I'm such and such from the police department. Put your hands up. Do you have any weapons?" You know, you're supposed to ask them these these questions so that you can find out what you're dealing with. But again, this guy must have just reacted and didn't think about what was going on.
When he came, you know, he came up on the scene where the officer had pulled his weapon and was pointing at the two young men he was having a confrontation with. So I guess to him, he perceived it as this man getting ready to take the lives of these two college students. And he just fired before he asked the questions. And again, you know, they were not from the same department or unit. And I think that there was a color of the day that all the officers were supposed to have on, and they somehow the color of the day didn't get to this officer. And but again, I just thought that the way these young people behaved was, you know, they put themselves in jeopardy and put that officer in jeopardy because they didn't allow him to handcuff his friend, in fact, for underage drinking. And so, you know, it's just one of those things where when you have a gun, you have to really know what you're doing, what your rights are, and you have to be prepared to be responsible for the actions that you take.
Right.
I just don't like the thought. Go ahead, Kathy.
I was going to say, in a situation like that, you know, if it's more than one, there's no way that I would be trying to get those young kids, because they're strong, to obey a command without calling for some kind of backup, you know?
Right. Well, you know, you have people who are gung-ho, who are always, you know, who kind of overstep their boundaries, who take everything on a personal level. You know, I think, like you saying, if I couldn't have waited for backup, then it wouldn't have been that big a deal. You know, you're talking about something that was, what do they call it when it's the lowest level of offense? It is a misdemeanor. So here
right.
you are, we don't turn the misdemeanor into a deadly situation. You know, and so
right.
I know that we don't want young people drinking and we want to discourage them, but you don't want to turn a drinking incident into a murder incident. So certainly he could have waited for backup, which would have helped made his life safer before he took an immediate action. But these are the kinds of things that are happening out there. And for me, I don't want to be in a restaurant eating my dinner and have to decide when robbers come in whether or not I want to be shooting at them and missing and hitting another patron. You know, I just don't need that. I'd rather you know, just give up my valuables and just hope and pray that they'll go on about their business. And I'm not looking to try to be, you know, starting no gunfight in a populated area, you know.
Was this a school police or was it just an off-duty police officer? I heard you say the color of the day, so they were from two different departments.
Right, right. You have... You know, you had undercover police officers here in Orlando. You have OPD, which is the city police, and then you have the sheriff's department, and both of them have their undercover officers. And so they really didn't do a good job of coordinating, you know, all the officers together, because when you have a big event at the Citrus Bowl, you know, a lot of different people want to get that off-duty money, and so they sign up for it from different departments.
Right,
and so everybody doesn't
overtime.
Know everybody.
Right. Got you. Okay.
And so you set up a situation where, you know, everybody, I mean, even in the same department, when you have thousands and thousands of people on duty or hundreds of people on duty, you're not going to be familiar with every person on a personal basis.
Right. You're right. Hey, I wanted to ask you a question.
Okay.
I see that every time you go to break, you play Mariah Carey. Is that one of your favorites?
Well, she is one of my favorites. But I also, you know how I'll be stumbling and bumbling around. One day when you have some free time, I'll go over with you. So in the future that you'll know. It is, you know how you have to deal with your hand and eye coordination? And so
yes.
You have to roll to the different songs at the same time you're trying to click the right thing. And so it is almost like sometime on my screen there are too many things. And I wish we could, I maybe need to go delete some things. So there are a lot of things that I don't use at all. You don't want too much time to elapse before you get to the song. And that just happens to be one of the easiest, quickest ones for me to get to. But you always calling me on things, Cassie. But I'm gonna get you know you. I'm sure you're not the only one. Who, but
I just was wondering.
I like
Mariah Carey. Yeah.
Okay. Well, let me ask you this. This is getting off the. You know, since you've made this commitment and said put on record that you like her, what do you think about this new situation that she's in where her and this rich man don't broke up?
He's still married, so, you know, there could never be a real relationship. They were just playing around with each other. So she's going to she'll recover. She's a princess. She's a diva, and she can recover from that. So...
Well,
you know,
what do you think about the possibility of going her and her original husband, the young man? What is his name? Did she have twins from her last husband?
Nick Cannon.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think they should go and get back together and make it work. You know, they do everything together anyway. He's always there at the birthday parties, and even when the guy was there. Her new boyfriend was there when they were together. Nick was right there. So, you know, go ahead. But, I mean, they need to just go to counseling and work out whatever they need to work out. And, you know, whatever she don't want him to do and whatever he don't want her to do, they just need to work it out and let the kids see a happy home, you know, because it's really about those two twins between them two.
Yeah, it really is. And, you know, it is. I really would, you know, she's had some troubling experiences with different relationships of many different kinds, and it would be nice if she could get a foundation that she can count on and she can prosper through. And Cannon seems to be on his best behavior now, really doing well professionally.
Hey, what's going on, man?
Yeah, to me, he's a better fit for her, even though she, you know, she is a diva. He is a better fit for her, you know, because seriously, evidently there was something that she loved about him that she married him and had kids by, you know. So whatever their quarrel was, they just need to fix it and move on.
And there's something to say about there's something unique to say about you having a special relationship with somebody and having it overcome some obstacles. And these just may have been obstacles they both need to just try to overcome.
Right. Because you can really see that they do love each other. Because if not, he wouldn't be hanging out with her, you know. Because there are a lot of people that have kids by celebrities, and they still don't go and hang out the way they hang out together. So it's something special about that relationship, even though they don't want to say it. You know, Mariah just wants her way. And there ain't nothing wrong with that.
I hear you. Well, let me change the subject another way. I wanted to ask this question. What is it that you're hoping for to be under your Christmas tree this holiday season? Is there anything real special that you like to have?
No. You know what? It used to be a time that I did want little special little gifts and items and presents and stuff, but you know what? I think I've had almost everything I could ever want or receive as far as material things, but just for, you know, to have a blessed day with my family and those that are sick, if the Lord will heal them, that will be a beautiful Christmas present. And, you know, those that are struggling and need help, if he would just open the door and give them some favors. That's the type of stuff that I'm praying for Christmas, for, you know, for the family, for the people I see, those I talk to, if something going on, just so the Lord would just touch their situation. And that'll be a good Christmas present for me.
I see. Well, I'm going to have to tell you, I am going to, I know for a fact that I'm going to purchase myself an Xbox. Not that I'm a great video fan, but it's just what I want. I also bought me a little flying helicopter. I don't know what they call these little things, but I'm going to learn how to fly these things outside. I hope I don't tear up anything.
It's a drone.
But I am into a drone. That's exactly. I don't even know what the name of it is. I bought myself a drone. And so I'm going to learn how to play with it. But I'm into electronics. I have enough TVs and I have enough computers. So now I'm going to buy me an Xbox and probably buy me another drone. And I'm going to call it a day. I really don't. My daughter has gotten her Christmas present. I loaned her some money, and I told her that since she wasn't going to pay the money back, that was going to be her Christmas. So.
And you loaned her some money?
Well, that's what she said it was. She said it was a loan. And she said, oh, I'm going to have it back to you in 3 or 4 days. And that had been 4 or 5 weeks ago. So I told her that's her Christmas present, and she don't have to pay it back. So okay. You know we know how it goes. You know,
right.
She used to me now, not buying anything for her because it ain't. You know, she's too old. She's in her 30s, and I don't know what to buy her anyway. But a few weeks ago, well, maybe 2 months ago, somebody broke the window in her car, and she asked me. She said, "Dad, can you have the window in my car repaired?" So I gave her $200 to have the window repaired, and then she hit me up for $300. So she in my pocket real deep here at the end of the year. So we're going to call that a wrap. So that's her Christmas present, her window and that $300. So she told me she's going to Hartford, Connecticut, for Christmas, and maybe I'll give her a little spending money for Christmas, but that's about the size of it.
Okay. Well, that's
do
nice.
You plan
that's
on,
nice.
Do you plan on doing a lot of shopping yourself?
No shopping. You know what? You know, we usually get together and go out and try to feed the homeless or, you know, make somebody else's Christmas special. What we did talk about yesterday, I was telling my sister that we need to get those hug T-shirts for everybody and go out and do some free hugs for Christmas. And she said that was an excellent idea. So we're just trying to see how many people are going to be here, and that's what we're going to do for Christmas.
Oh, okay. That's awesome. Well, I'll make sure that I look up because I got my 2 shirts, and they're a little small for me. I might just put them away. Because they were 3Xs. I might just put them away until I lose enough weight to really wear them and enjoy them because they were a little snug. But they're real nice, and I'll get the organization the link and send you the link. But they're real nice T-shirts.
Okay. Well, I did order today, me and Michael, the long sleeve ones because since it's going to be for Christmas, you know, I don't want to have on a jacket, so I ordered us the long sleeve ones. So when we go out, we'll be a little warm, and it won't be too much. We don't have to put a jacket on with them.
Oh, that's amazing. Well, I know that his organization appreciates the fact that we put him on air and that we're out there supporting him. And we want to be able to put smiles on people's faces and make people know that everybody's not out there with a grumpy face, and that we want to be a part of a movement that is pleasant.
Right. Absolutely. You're absolutely right. And where's my sisters, Andre and Regina? They're working today?
I guess they on holiday. They don't took 2 days off, Cassie. We don't have to talk about them when they get back. Andre had sent me a few pictures from the beach. I don't know if you remember that her brother rented them a cottage on the beach.
So she sent a few
pictures of her on the beach. I don't know what happened to Regina. Regina said she wasn't going to her family's for Thanksgiving, but she didn't call Thanksgiving or today, so I don't know where she's at.
Probably just relaxing.
Yeah. So we're going to have to really stick it to them on Saturday if they make it back on Saturday.
They're enjoying their holiday, but that's okay. We handling it, right?
Right. We taking care of business. We've gone through it really fast. And always nice when you have somebody here to share a conversation and make sure we're talking about things that impact lives. And we just want to give people the opportunity to have a voice and to have their voices heard. So we want to be here on a regular basis to make sure that takes place. And it's so nice to talk to you, and it's so nice to have a West Coast girl that we can talk about things and incorporate the whole entire country. Now, I do want to tell you to make sure that you tell your sister that when she's giving away all those free hugs, that she saves one for me.
I sure will. I will let her know.
Right.
I will definitely let her know.
All right. We want to just thank everybody who's out there in our audience who's supporting this show, Thoughts, Love, and Reflections. And we just want you to know we'll always be here for you to make sure that your voice is heard loud and clear. I want you to go to my website, www.jamestdeshay.com. That's JamestDeshay.com. And let me know what you think. We're here to make sure that you have an opportunity or a platform to make sure that your voice is heard. And we'll see you tomorrow at 8 p.m. Eastern Time at 657-383-0309. Take care, everybody. See you tomorrow, Kathy.
Father, help your children and don't let them fall by the side of the road. And teach them to love one another, that heaven might find a place in their hearts. 'Cause Jesus is love. He won't let you down, and I know He
we've got to walk on. Walk on through temptation, 'cause he's love and his wisdom will be our helping hand. Lift up our hearts to be thankful and glad that Jesus is the one.
Should not introduce.